quiet in here today, Darwin. Huh? Good to have you here. Did you have a good week? How about you, Steve? Did you have a good week? Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best. What number are you? 8.5, not so bad. Good morning, everybody. Did you have a good week? You had a good week? Today is All Saints Sunday, and so I want you to pick out a saint in your life that you want to sing to, okay? Because they're singing in heaven. Today when you sing, imagine yourself singing to one of those saints in your life. Now, to me, it's my old grandma, my roly-poly grandma. My nickname when I was a kid was Butterball. And I think I took after my grandma. So think of a saint in your life, okay? And sing to her today, okay? Because one day we're going to join her. You ready for that? Ready to go now?
No.
You're not. Yeah. I'll get on the bus if it stops today during the service. Let's go together, okay? This month we're doing a... Our big emphasis is on invite. Our church has a theme, God's world, our hands, Pat? Something like that.
Love like Jesus.
Love like Jesus. What did I get the hands business?
I have no idea.
Okay. Last month we emphasized give, and we talked about how Jesus gave everything he had. In fact, at the Romeo's on Thursday, one of the guys gave me an assignment asking me to prove one way or the other if Jesus could have been a capitalist. And I said he absolutely could not, because he didn't have any property, he didn't collect for himself, he just gave and gave and gave of himself. This month it's invite, so I'm going to invite you. And
after the choir sings.
You got this down, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what we
okay,
have.
So, yeah, okay. Okay. Thank you. No, let's do it. Let's do it where you want. Far be it for me to change things up. Anyway, it's invite. Tomorrow, the church is going to be, the floor is going to be washed and cleaned. And after the, it's been 7 or 8 years since we've done that. So, after coffee hour, if you can stay around a few more minutes and pack up all the chairs and tables, if you're able to help out that way, we'll do it after coffee hour, all right? Please help in that way. Anything else I'm missing here? 1 o'clock. The memory garden is going to be winterized. So if you'd like to help with the garden, you got to trim some plants and
put it to bed.
That reminds me, it looks like all of you got an extra hour of sleep tonight, except for you and me. I couldn't go to bed until 2 o'clock because I had to turn the clocks back. Finlander. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God. And you have sent your Spirit to us. For some reason it has come into our lives and reminded us of who we are, that we are yours and we are loved by you absolutely, unconditionally, and that you'll always be with us to give us your power and give us your presence and remind us of the promise of life in the age to come, where we can join with all the saints in heaven. And so today on this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone before us. And we remember that we are at the same time saint and sinner. So speak to us. Send your Spirit again to stir in our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 422. Let's sing verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
For all the
Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship in the name of the Father of glory, in the name of God the Son, our Redeemer, in the name of God the Holy and Life-Giving Spirit.
Amen.
The Son of Righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, gracious God, we acknowledge that we are sinners and we confess our sins, those known to us that burden our hearts, and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that you, before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed. Free us from the slavery of sin, liberate us from the bondage of guilt, and work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ, the dawn from on high, shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit guides our feet into the way of peace.
Amen.
From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Dressing, sing. focus, as Pastor said, is this month is invite. And so I would just like to ask the congregation here a question. How many of you seated here today were invited by someone else to come to this church? The importance of the invitation. In surveys, it said that 82% of unchurched people, if they were personally invited, they would attend a church. You cannot underestimate the power of a personal invitation. Maybe to come to a cantata, come to Welka, come to a Bible study, or just come and worship at Christmas time. So, Caroline here is a member of our stewardship committee, and this is a little project for the year that stewardship has undertaken. So, Caroline, how did you happen to come and be a member of this church?
Well, it fits right in.
Oh, yeah, turn the bugger on.
Well, it fits into this because Jerry and I were at Hunter's for Taco Tuesday. Jerry's favorite food, he hates Mexican, and with all my friends. And Doug and Ingrid Trandall were there. And it was December, and we were talking about Christmas music and plays and things to go to. And Doug said, why don't you come to our cantata? And we said, we'll be there. And it was wonderful. Our choir is unbelievable, first of all. And we got hooked. But it wasn't just the choir, although they're wonderful. It was the friendship of all the people. I think that's the biggest part of it. We need to be very proud that we have this beautiful church to begin with. And we have a choir that's unbelievably excellent. We go to different churches when we're gone for the winter, and none of them compare. We have the fun praise choir. We have the beautiful bell choir.
We have a lot of music in our church, and that draws people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we have pastor. I was going to say nice things. I was.
Yes.
His personality and his inspiration.
And I understand that Carolyn has been invited to join the choir, and she's going to be joining the choir when you come back this winter. Yeah? That's what I heard.
Okay. But mostly what I wanted to say is if somebody new moves into your neighborhood and you're welcoming them to the neighborhood anyway, we're going to have a little bag. And in the bag will be a mug from Bethesda, a jar of our wonderful jelly that we make here, and the brochure that tells all about the church, and a little welcoming card. And you don't even need to say much. You just say welcome if you're looking for a church.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
You come with us.
Yes. It can be just really informal. And sometimes, we have programs here at church. We know that the Thursday afternoon card group or game group, there are people from the community that come. And our church should be a welcoming place, and it is a welcoming place. So if you know of somebody, please invite them to our Christmas cantata. Invite them at this time of the year for Christmas services. As members of the church, we can't forget, I think, to invite each other. We have Bible studies going on, and sometimes we're afraid that we don't know enough about the Bible to join, and that's bunk. You know, it's learning about Jesus' word is a wonderful opportunity to get to know one another. We have Welka, and Welka is for all of the women in church. And so those personal invitations are really important. So we thank you very much, Caroline. Okay. The lesson for today is found in the chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. After giving thanks for the faith of the Ephesians, Paul prays that they might understand the wisdom and hope and power of God that is embodied in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we who are the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has made Him the head over all things for the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The psalm for today is Psalm 149, and where you see the bold R, please use the refrain. Hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song, God's praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let them praise their Maker's name with dancing. Let them sing praise with tambourine and harp. Let the faithful rejoice and triumph. Let them sing for joy on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand,
to wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples,
to bind their kings to chains and their nobles to links of iron,
to inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all God's faithful ones. Hallelujah. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is found in the 19th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus encounters Zacchaeus, a rich man who is also a lost sinner. Moved by Jesus' acceptance of him, Zacchaeus becomes a model of discipleship. In immediate response to being restored to God's people, Zacchaeus ministers to the poor and seeks reconciliation with those whom he has wronged. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save that was lost. The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated. This time, I think we're going to do something different. You're sounding, you can be seated.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking about leaving to Arizona this week, aren't you? We're going to do something different. For this song, the sermon hymn, hymn number 770, we're going to sing it a cappella. And I want to hear you singing it to your saints in heaven, okay? Give me Jesus. Now, you got to watch me just like the choir watches Darwin when he plays. Because we're going to sing some of these faster and some of these slower. But this is an African-American spiritual, okay? So let's all join together. One, two, three. In the morning when I... Oh, you got to give us an opening note. Give us an opening note. Okay, there we go. Not too far. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. If I have all the rest, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the rest. Give me Jesus. Verse 4. Oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you may have all the rest, give me Jesus. Now a little faster on the last verse. And when I want to sing, and when I want to sing, and when I want to sing, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you may have all the rest, give me Jesus. My church is my choir. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Summer I was reading the Week magazine. I came upon a story that was pretty interesting. It took place in Poland. Reuters News Service wrote the article. It seems like a man was riding a taxi. He didn't want to pay the taxi driver. For some reason, this taxi driver upset him. So he jumped out of the car, ran across the road, climbed a tree. And he started being like a jungle boy crawling across the tree. The taxi driver called the police. The police called the firemen. Firemen came and were going to put up a ladder. Finally, he came down of his own accord. And the fire department was going to charge him $4,300 just for calling them all out. Never heard whatever happened to him. But today our story is about a little guy who climbs a tree. So that's the only tree story I could think of. Except... there's going to be lots of guys and few gals in this church next week and climbing trees in red little suits. That taxi driver is going to come to you and ask for $31 per license, okay? Today's lesson is about a short guy named Zacchaeus. He goes to Jericho. Jericho in Israel is right at the base of the Dead Sea, and it's one of the lowest cities in the world. And it's Jericho is still a viable town today. It's about the same size as Achan, I suppose. But it's out in the desert, so we've got trees, they got rocks and sand, just like Arizona. Oh, you go to California, that's right. Yeah. It's all the same to us. A desolate land. Sorry. As you feel, I'm a little jealous. You guys get to go to the sun. Yeah, come on out. I tried talking the council into letting me go for 2 months to visit all of our people down there to see that they're keeping following the Lord, but they would have none of it. So, anyway, Zacchaeus lives in Jericho, and he's the chief tax collector. Nowhere else in the whole scripture does the word chief come. So he's the one from all the tax collectors. He takes all of that money that's going to Rome, and he's the one who arranges to send it to Rome. So he's the chief tax collector. Huh? He's responsible to the Roman government for all the taxes that come from the Mideast. So I imagine that Zacchaeus lives in a beautiful, beautiful home with beautiful gardens, with all kinds of servants. He's very, very wealthy. All the comforts of home, anything you could ask for. Reminds me of an old Sophie Tucker song where she sings, "I've been rich and I've been poor. It's better to be rich." And he was. And yet, this man who had it all, it hadn't satisfied his deepest need. There was still something wrong in his life, I think. I think there's something going on here. Because I think he was lonely. I think he was empty. I think he didn't... There's something going on. Why else would he climb a tree to see... this itinerant preacher that's going through town. He wants to find something there. So apparently he's empty and he's lonely. And he's a short man. So all of these people are going out to see this person who's called the Messiah, the Savior. And he can't see, so he climbs the tree. He humbles himself. He says, "I don't care. I got to see who this guy is." So he climbs this tree. Wally, you played Zacchaeus in one of our vacation Bible school, didn't you? No? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, wee little man, was he? Oh, it wasn't you. Okay. Just checking. Anyway, He climbs this tree, and as he climbs this tree and sees all the people gathering around Jesus, his heart is stirred. Something happens in here. He wants to know more. He'd heard reports about Jesus being the Savior of Israel, being the one who's going to lead them to freedom from Rome. He had heard stories about healing and feeding 5,000 and walking on water. He had heard about Jesus calling another tax collector to be one of his disciples, one of his students, Matthew. And he hoped that maybe something would happen to himself. And so Jesus walks through the city and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And he sees the person who's seeking him. And he knows his name. And he knows he can look Zacchaeus in the eye and he sees there's something there that he can meet. And so Jesus invites him down. And Zacchaeus invites Jesus to come home today with me. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm staying at your house today. There's the invite, huh, Pat? Isn't that what we were talking about? Jesus invites himself first. He comes to him, just like he comes to you and me. And then Zacchaeus says, come on home with me today. And so... must have surprised Zacchaeus that he even recognized who he was and that he was that the stranger could call him by name. I think Jesus knows everybody's name, and I think he can look into our hearts and into our eyes and see what's going on there. But Jesus says, "Come on down immediately. I'm staying at your house today." And this has to be done with haste because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem now where he knows he's going, some tough times are coming. He knows he has to be there for the Passover. So it's not like, it's an opportunity and Zacchaeus took it on because if he would have said, "No, come tomorrow," Jesus wouldn't have been be there. So when Jesus comes, we got to almost be ready to say, "Okay, I'm ready to follow." And he comes down at once, welcomes Jesus gladly. It's a beautiful picture of a person seeking faith and that That faith is rewarded because Jesus comes to him in a very real way. But Jesus and Zacchaeus aren't the only two characters in this story. Also present there are all these other residents of Jericho. Do you notice? And they were unhappy that Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' home. So Luke tells us that all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Jesus is going to be a guest of a sinner. Ah, the plot thickens. It's interesting that stories of Jesus' wondrous acts of grace are almost always occupied by a chorus of self-righteous people that cry about those very acts of grace that Jesus does. I was reading a C.S. Lewis book. He talked about how God dislikes the self-righteous people, the people that think they're better than everybody else, more than he does the prostitute or the adulterer or drunkenness or people who murder. It's those who think they're so right and so better than everybody else that Jesus comes down on. This is what C.S. Lewis wrote. "Jesus, however, was most scandalized by the sins of the spirit. The sins of the flesh are bad, but they're the least bad of all the sins," says Lewis. He says, "All the worst pleasures are purely spiritual. Pleasure of putting other people in the wrong, of bossing and patronizing, the pleasures of power and of hatred. That's why, according to Lewis, a cold, self-righteous prig who goes regularly to church may be far nearer to hell than the prostitute." That's what C.S. Lewis wrote. That says it pretty strongly. Those of us who think we're better than anybody else, that we behave better than most, that we know what's what, those are the ones C.S. Lewis thinks God doesn't smile on too often. And that's not to say that Zacchaeus is without blame. As we noted, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, chief tax collector. And they are bitterly hated by Jewish people. Tax collectors, they thought, were in the Jewish pockets. They were the traitors to the race and to the religion and to the country. They were ostracized, tax collectors, where they were completely cut off. They were excommunicated from the Jewish faith. And then they were usually, tax collectors were usually cheats. They were usually dishonest and unjust men. The Roman government compensated tax collectors by allowing them to collect a little bit more than what was right. As long as Rome got their part, no problem. But it was a pretty well-known fact that tax collectors in Jesus' day took bribes from the wealthy who wished to have their taxes lowered. They fleeced the average citizen whenever they could. They swindled the government whenever they could. And Zacchaeus, I have a feeling he was chief among sinners. So he wasn't completely out of the woods either. Anyway, it's an affront to everybody else so that Jesus would call Zacchaeus down and go to his place. Jesus visiting the home of this man. Sheesh, what's that all about? Why is he doing that? I mean, there's all kinds of other people. Why does he go to Zacchaeus' house? Anyway, the scriptures tell us then that Jesus says, or that Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I will respond to them fourfold of what I cheated them out of." His heart has changed once Jesus comes into his house and into his life. Imagine four times what he had been taken. Restitution became a part of Zacchaeus' life after that. Think of the people that he had cheated. I mean, his life has changed. That's what they call repentance. That's what repent means. It just means change your thinking, change your attitude, change your life. And something changes in here, and you start feeling a little better about yourself and a little better about what's happening in the world, and you're able to handle it a little better. I was reading a story about Mickey Cohen. Mickey Cohen was a gangster back in the late 40s. Some of you Yeah, probably many of you have heard of Mickey Cohen. Anyway, that was a political commentary on the age of our congregation. We better invite a few younger ones, huh, Jerry? Anyway, Cohen was supposedly became a Christian at one of Billy Graham's crusades. But there was just one problem. After this so-called conversion, Mickey Cohen didn't change his behavior or his mob contacts. He continued to be a mobster. And so Edwin Orr, who was a revivalist and a historian in Billy Graham's crusade business, he talked to Cohen about changing his behavior. And when confronted about his lack of repentance, Cohen said, "You didn't tell me that I'd have to give up my work. You didn't tell me that I'd have to give up my friends." And he meant all his gangster associates. And so this Edwin Orr, the guy who worked for Billy Graham, says, had heard that so-and-so was a Christian cowboy, and so-and-so was a Christian actress, and so-and-so was a Christian senator, and he really thought that he could be a Christian gangster. To his credit, when you think about Zacchaeus, he was willing to do better than that. And so he can say, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and I'll return four times to anyone who I took advantage of." And that's a beautiful statement of hope. The Son of Man, this lesson closes out by saying, came to seek and save the lost. It makes no difference whether your home is a mansion or a rescue mission. It doesn't matter whether your skin is black or brown or yellow or red or white. It doesn't even matter if you're a saint or a sinner. But if your heart is empty and you let him, Jesus wants to come and make his home there if we invite him in. And so we don't know what happened to Zacchaeus. There's nothing else ever written about him. But there's a legend, and it's only a legend, that he became a bishop in Caesarea. Whatever became of him, we know that his life was changed by this experience of inviting Jesus to his home. Your life can be transformed as well if we open ourselves completely and let Christ do his life-changing work in us. See, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If you find yourself being lost today, and don't know why all this stuff is happening in my life now, whatever that may mean to you, won't you open yourself to his love? Something might change in here. Amen. May our peace and love be with us. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
For those of you who are visiting, the box that went through is a blessing box. If God has blessed you, we ask people to return a little bit more, maybe like Zacchaeus did that day. Please rise. Let's turn to the offertory prayer, the top of page 5. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the one holy church, the body of Christ, that it may show forth your generosity, love, and forgiveness to the world, let us pray. For your care of the earth and all that is in it, for the renewal of farmland that lies fallow, and for the new life you bring from death, let us pray. For the wisdom and vision you give to the world leaders, that the peace and justice of the kingdom of God may one day reign among us. Let us pray.
for your healing to all who are ill, your presence with the dying, and your great compassion to those who weep or mourn. Especially remember in our prayers today Ron Richter, Mary England, Darwin, Ron Hass, Judy Forrester, Dean Newman, and all those in our lives who need your healing touch. Let us pray. For your blessings on this assembly, that it continue to dream dreams, sing new songs, and be a sign of your living presence in the world, let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for calling us as you called Zacchaeus, for inviting us into your home and into your life and into your love. Help us to trust you implicitly in everything. When the world is pouring down upon us, help us to trust that you will be with us to bring us through. And we ask, O Lord, you might watch over our loved one this day, family and friends, wherever they find themselves. Allow your holy angels and your saints in heaven to smile upon them. In thanksgiving for the lives of those you have gathered into your holy city, for keeping us in loving communion with them until we are gathered into the company of all the saints around your throne, let us pray. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Just as Jesus invited Zacchaeus to his life, he invites us to his table, where all are welcome. At Jesus' Last Supper, the day of the Passover, he took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it, in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Everyone is invited to join us at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please ask and we will pass you that wafer. Today we'll use intinction, so we'll dip into the wine or to the grape juice. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Share in the inheritance of the saints. Come to the table prepared for you. The congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. We give you thanks, shepherding God, that you have gathered your scattered flock again this day, feeding us richly with the food of paradise. Accompany us as we serve you all the days of our lives, and gather us with the saints in the day of our death. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. God Almighty sends you light and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you, the holy angels accompany you, and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is 638, Blessed Assurance.